WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Authorities have rescued hundreds of animals, chickens, goats, rabbits, emus, from deadly overcrowded conditions at a farm in Louisa County. Governor-elect Ralph Northam tries to set a bipartisan tone for next year's legislative session. And should private attempts to help feral cats be more closely regulated? This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, December 1st.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College, offering small classes, student clubs, sports, and financial aid while living close to family and friends. Registration for the fall semester is happening now at the Weir's Cave campus or online at brcc.edu.
Nearly 500 animals have been rescued after authorities found neglected emus, sheep, guinea pigs, cats, rabbits, and chickens on a farm in Louisa County. The county sheriff's office discovered the animals on Wednesday after receiving a call about goats in the road. Deputies found numerous animals dead or in distress on the 40-acre farm. The sheriff's office told WRIC-TV that hundreds of animals were placed in a temporary shelter. Deputies said a mobile home on the property was packed several feet high with chickens, birds, and garbage. The property owner's son said the farm has been a dumping ground for unwanted pets. He said his 77-year-old mother was trying to save them all. The sheriff's office said it was too early to say whether charges will be filed. Also, Virginia Governor-elect Ralph Northam is promising to unite both parties in the General Assembly and push a bipartisan agenda in next year's legislative session. Northam told reporters Thursday at an event sponsored by the Virginia Press Association that his top legislative priorities next year include economic development, education, and health care. The incoming Democratic governor-elect said he's optimistic about chances to pass Medicaid expansion in Virginia, which state Republicans have steadfastly rejected in past years and say they still oppose. Northam will work with a dramatically reshaped legislature when he takes office. A Democratic tidal wave wiped out a Republican near supermajority in the House, with final control of the lower chamber still undecided because of ongoing recounts. Veterans from across Virginia were on Capitol Hill Thursday meeting with senators over coffee and donuts. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has this report from Capitol Hill.
Rob Jones is a Marine from Vienna who's become somewhat of a celebrity. That's because he ran 31 marathons in 31 days, culminating on Veterans Day.
I was raising money for three different veterans charities, the Semper Fi Fund, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, and the Coalition to Salute America's Heroes. And they're all just organizations that help veterans that have been wounded get back on their feet and find their new path.
Jones is one of hundreds of veterans who came here to the Russell Senate office building to meet with Senator Mark Warner and Senator Tim Kaine for an annual appreciation breakfast. For Air Force vet Thomas Banzul of Burke, it's an opportunity to talk to the senators about the VA appeals system.
The legal process that veterans have to go through to get legitimate disability claims approved is not only punitive and adversarial, it's chaotic.
Banzul says the solution is to have an administrative judge hear the appeals rather than an appeals board. Other vets here want to make sure health insurance premiums don't go up and that mental health services are more available for service members returning home from combat zones. Reporting from Capitol Hill, I'm Michael Pope.
Also on Thursday, a Virginia father who lost his son to opioid addiction appeared before a Senate committee charged with dealing with the nationwide epidemic. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
VCU dentistry professor Dr. Omar Abubakar now teaches all of his students the dangers of overprescribing medications. His son Adam died from an opioid addiction that began with pain medications for a football injury. But he told the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, we need to change our attitudes and our educational system.
So that we will see addiction for what it is, a disease of the brain. The real foe is addiction. We need to combat the opioid epidemic so we save our children. But we also need to regard and treat addiction as a disease to protect our grandchildren for what may come next 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Dr. Omar Abubakar before a Senate committee yesterday.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Finally today, while cat advocates promote controlling feral cat populations through trap-neuter release, or TNR, one local expert is calling for regulation of this practice and voicing his concerns about the harm to wildlife caused by outdoor pets and feral cats. WMRA's Christopher Clymer-Kurtz reports.
It's a crisp fall morning, and Lindy Schuster is heading out to look for trapped cats.
Try to keep the van very clean. Cats smell hungry sometimes. It gets worse, trust me. I've got like 20 dirty cages in here, and oh goodness.
She works for Cat's Cradle, a Harrisonburg nonprofit that seeks to decrease cat intake numbers at shelters to, quote, end the euthanasia of healthy adoptable pets. They also promote the humane treatment of feral cats. Schuster is the trap-neuter return coordinator for Cat's Cradle. After trapping free-range cats in live traps, she takes them to a vet, frequently to Anasira, she said, for a first vaccination rabies shot and spaying or neutering. Then she returns them back to where she found them. So far this year, she's TNR'd nearly 400 cats, she said. More from Schuster in a bit, but first, the impact of outdoor cats on wildlife. It's a problem, says Ed Clark, the president and founder of the Wildlife Center of Virginia, a training hospital for wildlife near Waynesboro.
Domestic cats are not natural predators, even though their instinct is to kill and to hunt. They are not fulfilling a natural role in the environment because they kill anything.
Clark said he used to let his own pet cats go outside whenever they wanted to, but a study by a student at the Wildlife Center changed that.
The report that he generated smacked me between the eyes because it showed that such a high percentage of our patients were cat victims and such a low percentage of those cat victims actually survived, even when we did our best. The day I got that report is the last day my cats went outside, and within just a couple of weeks, I started seeing species that I didn't know I had in my woods.
A later 2016 report from the Wildlife Center says that of nearly 21,000 patient admissions from 2000 to 2010, nearly 1 in 7 were admitted due to confirmed interaction with cats. And, the center said, those numbers are conservative, as they include only instances when a cat's involvement was actually seen. And so, quote, the true situation is likely much worse. Nationally, according to estimates from an analysis done in part by the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute, feral cats and house cats that spend time outside kill anywhere from 1.3 to 4 billion birds and between 6.3 and 22.3 billion wild mammals annually in the U.S. The cat advocate group Alley Cat Allies has called studies about the impacts of cats on wildlife, quote, sensational, distorted science, and bogus, and decried them as attempts to divert attention from the biggest threat to wildlife, humans. Cat's Cradle's Lindy Schuster, out on her TNR run, agrees.
I don't see many cats actually catch birds. I see them try, but I've never seen, like, widespread birds being, you know, slaughtered. Rodents, on the other hand, they can take care of those.
Schuster and other cat advocates say trap-neuter release is the humane and effective way to curb the cat population. But others have concerns, among them the Wildlife Center's Ed Clark. He said that all free-ranging or colony kittens and all socialized cats need to be adopted or otherwise taken into confinement, and the TNR of truly feral cats needs to be regulated.
They need to adhere to rules and regulations that govern every other aspect of animal welfare to protect the animals themselves and to protect the interests of the public.
He'd like to see fur trapping rules apply to cat traps, such as requiring all traps to have a metal nameplate and to be checked at least every 24 hours. He wants sterilization and vaccination records to be reported to authorities. And he says there should be rules about where the cats can be released and for feeding feral cats.
All right, see what we got.
Schuster arrives at a shed in a residential area off South Liberty Street in Harrisonburg, where she had set some traps.
Hi. Oh, I got the mom. And a baby. Okay, that's a good thing.
Schuster agrees that trapping needs to be done correctly.
I get a little nervous letting people trap themselves, and I've caught cases where they just set the traps out and forget about them, and it's just like there's a living animal in there.
Clark thinks that concern for living animals needs to include both the wildlife killed by cats and cats, which he said live longer, healthier lives indoors.
Part of what we are advocating in these rules and regulations is not just to protect wildlife, it's to protect these cats from people whose militant compassion leads them to do things that are not in the best interest of the cats.
Schuster drops off the cats in the cage in a basement storage area and feeds them.
I'll check on her again tonight. And that's it.
Tomorrow, the mother will be spayed, but for now at least, that free-ranging cat and her kitten are indoors, away from wildlife. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clymer-Kurtz.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Friday.